thankfully we've got three more up here, so the odds are in our favor. So I want to wish everybody happy Mother's Day. Our mothers, Ken, I am not going, I appreciate you giving me the just the idea, but I decided I'm not going to make each woman in here get up and tell their age and their weight. Thank you for the input, but I'm not going to do it. So we'll try something else for Father's Day, just to be thankful. So anyway, mothers play just such a special part, and they're just such special people in all our lives. And so it was not hard this week. Hello, Giles. So it was not hard this week to kind of think as we put together today, and you know, a lot of times I stress over what we, and the Lord always answers, He's always there. I don't know why I stress, but there is pressure that for it to come together, and then you have to do the work of what you're going to present on Sunday. So for Mother's Day, just there's so many attributes of a good mother that a good mother has that we should all look at, because I think mothers take the attributes from the Lord. And therefore, the attributes of mothership we should apply to our own lives. Okay, so I go into Paul's epistles here, and Paul was a spiritual father to many, but he took on the traits as a spiritual leader of the mother, and he mentions that he had motherly traits when he ministered to these churches. Okay, so this is a good example and lesson to all of us as believers to apply the traits of what makes a good mother and put them into our own lives. So I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to look quite a bit at a couple of verses here. Basically, I think 5 through 9. But we want to start out in verse 7. So Paul is basically summarizing his approach of ministry to the individuals in this church. And in doing so in verse 7, he specifically mentions how he ministered to them the way a mother would take care of not only their child, but their infant. Okay? So 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. And Paul says, "But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." So you notice he says nursing mother. So this is like a newborn, okay? And we all know what goes with that. Paul says, the way I have ministered to you is basically the way a mother who has just had a baby takes care of that baby, okay? So there's a lot of things that go into this. So, and they're not easy. There's a mother's labor. There's a mother's gentleness. There's mothers putting on the minds of Christ. There is the unselfishness of mothers. There's the mother's affection. There's so much of that. Okay? And we want to look at that today. So let's look at the mother's labor, first of all. So God made motherhood with godly qualities for us to learn. Paul was a father in the faith, but he also patterned the traits of a good mother. So good mothers labor to bear fruit in her children according to God's will. A new baby literally lives off the flesh and the blood of the mother for months, if not years. And like a mother, Paul labored in thankless work for his children. So you think about that. You're a mom, you have the baby, and sometimes you feel like it's a thankless job that never stops, that it's not appreciated, that there's not glory to it. And maybe that baby is not able to tell you thank you. Okay? So Paul kind of went about that in his ministry. So if you go to verse 9. And he says, "For you recall, brothers and sisters, our labor and hardship." So Paul is talking in verse 7 about how he went about his churches like a mother would. And then in verse 9, he says it's like, he mentions labor and hardship. He said it was by working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you. A mother does that, night and day. So it never stops. And you see the baby, a young one. It's like it has to have constant attention. You can't take a break from it. And that's what Paul was saying. The other day, Giles was running wild through the house. And I hear Rose say, "Oh, good Lord." See, I turn my head for a minute. He's got in here and dumped something over in the floor. So you can't turn your head. I mean, it's constant. There's no break, right? So that's what Paul was saying. He said in verse 9, he said, "I work day and night as not to be a burden to any of you." And the King James says, "because we would not be chargeable." So what does that mean? He didn't do it for money. They're not paying him by the hour. "I'm not going to work 24 hours a day so I can collect overtime." This was his calling. This was his ministry. This is what he felt like he was meant to do. And he was meant to do. And he didn't do it for money, for fame, or for gratitude. For people to throw a parade for it. Some other. Okay? And he says, "with all that we proclaim to you the gospel of God." So Paul did not work for money. Now you got to remember, in that day he came out of the Jewish religion. The priest did not have to work. They came out of the tribe of Levi and their needs were supplied by the 11 other tribes. A priest did not have to do any kind of manual labor. So you remember, Paul says, on top of everything, on top of the beatings, on top of the imprisonment, and he's doing all this under the worst case of persecution that you can imagine. Being whipped, being beaten, being jailed, being starved. He still got to do all this. And on top of that, he had a job as a tent maker. So the pressure never eased on him. Salt like a mother. They just keep doing their job, right? So good mothers do not do what they do for money or even appreciation. They do it because they want to, but there's even times, and we all have this, but I think mothers specifically, where they need a break and they really don't want to do it for that second. They'd love to get away from it and they can't. But they understand what their calling is as mothers. They have to do it. I think that's a good lesson as Christians. A lot of times, you know, we'd like to maybe take a break from it. "Well, I don't feel like doing this today. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like doing it." But, you know, you can't take a break from being a Christian. I'll quit being a Christian this week. And then next Monday, I'll start being a Christian. It doesn't work like that. So there's so many traits of motherhood that we can put into our own lives. A good mother also labors until there is something formed or learned within the child. Turn to Galatians 4. A good mother labors until there is something formed or learned within the child. Man, they're doing everything they can do to try to teach Giles how to count. He likes the number 2, and there's no number before it or no number after it. There's something great about number 2. I don't know what it is. Moms consistently work. They teach them how to count. They work with them with their vocabulary, their ABCs. They're always trying, you know, they're trying to build that little brain. And so they're trying to form that. So Galatians 4:19 says, my children, I'll let you turn to verse 19. So Galatians 4, verse 19. My children, with whom I am again, and look what he says, in labor, until Christ is formed in you. The fetus is formed into a baby in the mother's womb. Okay? We believe that life starts at the fetus, at the conception. And it's formed within that womb. And that could be a long 9 months for a mother. And it doesn't stop there. Paul had gone through the labor pains to help give the Galatians new life, which is in Christ. Okay? Not only to bring the gospel to them, which they knew nothing about, but to also develop them in the church, develop them as Christians. Okay? And if you look in Galatians, his concern is, after all that work, they were listening to false teachers. So it hurts a mother to go through everything she does with a child to see them then go down the wrong path. And I think we've been there. I know when I was away from the Lord, my mom knew it. I know that hurt her. And I think many here can kind of say the same thing. But mom never quit praying. Okay? She never gave up. She never stopped. And I think, like I said, there's others here. Cleo, I've heard you say the same thing. Mom, they never stopped. They want that developed. And I think about the old saying is, you know, if you play a country song, you play it backwards, your wife comes back, your dog comes back, and get your job back, and all that stuff. And I keep thinking, you know, all those old country songs used to talk about mom all the time. And Johnny Paycheck said, mama tried to turn me on to Jesus, but I turned on to the devil's ways. And there was a lot of truth. And he was talking about how it hurt his mom. Take me back to Rock of Ages, cleft for me, when his mom used to sing that to them. The developing, even through the rough times when it's not easy. And you see, none of this is easy for a mom. None of this is easy. It's hard. Like a mother, Paul labored as an example of work, hard work, love, and grace. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 3. Seven through nine. I put 2 Thessalonians down here on my Word document, and I hit an extra one thing, but it's 1 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 9. Actually, I think it is 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3. I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians 3. It's so, the scripture here is so close. But, so 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 9. For you yourselves know you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined way among you. Now, Paul said something that was very, to some people, was controversial. Paul doesn't say, follow Jesus' example, although we know he wants to. He said, follow my example as I follow Jesus. Follow him the way I am. And he says here, you ought to follow our example because we didn't act in an undisciplined way among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread. We didn't steal from anybody. We were disciplined. We didn't eat anybody's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because you do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a role model for you, that you would follow our example. Good mothers lead by example. We as Christians should live as an example. Don't do as I say, do as I do. And I fall short of that. I'll be the first one to admit it. But we should lead by example. Good mothers do that. You've heard the story, and it's more about for Father's Day, but you've heard the old story of the dad walking through the snow, and the little boy's right behind him walking in his footprints, and he turns around and sees that he's walking in those footprints in the snow, and that's what the kids are doing. They follow our example. They walk in our footprints. So Paul was disciplined. Paul was honest. Paul was unselfish. Paul was hardworking. Paul was dependable. Guess what? Good mothers are disciplined. Good mothers are honest. Good mothers are unselfish. Good mothers are hardworking. Good mothers are dependable. The kids know they can count on their mom when they're little. That's why they call for mom. They know good mother. They know they'll be there. That's the way we should be. Do we have these traits in our Christian life? Do I have these in mind? Am I dependable? Am I honest? Am I hardworking? Am I disciplined? Am I unselfish? So these are things that apply to all of us, just not on Mother's Day. How about mother's gentleness? So we've talked about mother's labor. How about mother's gentleness? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, mother's gentleness. My mother could be gentle at times, and then she was Granny Clamp at other times. But she didn't have a hickory. She was pretty good. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So it says, verses 6 and 7, nor did we seek honor from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our authority as apostles of Christ. But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. And you know, he repeats all this stuff. That's why I'm hoping I had the verses right, because a lot of it repeats. He talks about a mother. So, mothers deserve honor and praise, but they don't seek it. Same way Paul did. It's easy for us sometimes as Christians, maybe to want to be recognized, and at times we won't be. But the Lord knows. And like I said last week, the most important things, even after you're dead and gone, your reward is still building. The Bible says if you hand out a glass of water in the Lord's name, Jesus will remember that. You'll be rewarded for it. You may not be rewarded here, although I think you will, but you'll definitely be rewarded in heaven. So, a lot of you know, one of my favorite shows, and you've heard me mention it before, I love Everybody Loves Raymond. I love that show. So, Deborah Barone is the housewife, and one of the themes of that show is she never gets to take a break from being a mom. She's a stay-at-home mom. Raymond's a sports writer for the New York Post, and Raymond's like a lot of us. So Raymond goes out and works, and when he gets off work, he thinks his responsibility's over. He's going to go home. He's going to eat everything in the refrigerator. He's going to plop down on the couch. He's not going to do anything around the house. And guess what? She's still got three little kids to raise. And she gets mad at him because he doesn't really do his fair share in this, right? But then he's like, well, I'm doing all this work. I've got this hard job and all this stuff. And I've got all this stress. And they butt heads about this a lot. And it's funny when they do it. But that's one of the themes of the show. But sometimes she feels inferior when she looks at him and he's got this glamorous job and other people around him are working and their jobs, and she feels in fear because she thinks she is just a stay-at-home mom. And sometimes even, it doesn't have to be a stay-at-home mom. You can have a job and a career, and you can have your raising kids and all that, and it's easy as dads and as men to say, all right, I'm taking a break from it here for a few minutes. I've been working all day. Well, guess what? You don't take a break from it. And raising kids, the family, everything, it's never ending, right? And I hate it when you'll hear some, you know, people will talk about their careers and then a woman may say, well, I'm just a mom. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just raising kids. There's no such thing as just a mom. There's not a greater honor. In my opinion, there's not a greater job or a greater, I wouldn't call it a job, a position than that of being a mom. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more honorable. There's nothing more esteem. There's nothing greater than being a mom. We should take the title as being a Christian in that mold. It's an honor to be able to serve Christ. It is an honor to be a Christian. It is an honor to be in the body of Christ. So there's so much of this goes together. Good mothers also put on the mind of Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Good mothers put on the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 7. So Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Good mothers are not selfish. And Paul is saying here, we as believers should not be selfish or be conceited. But with humility, consider one another as important, more important than yourself. And I've said this before, I think that's the difference now than in my dad's generation. He came out of the greatest generation, the World War II generation. Humility was important. No matter how tough a man was, humility was important. You did not want to come across as conceited. But it was humility, being humble. And now it seems like people think that's a weakness now. And that's one thing that really bothers me with this, where we live at today. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. You remember we spoke about it last week, that Jesus' weakness, that was people during that time thought was weakness, that he couldn't even save himself from the cross. That's actually where the power was at. Because the cross saves us. So Christ, he was above everything he had to go through on earth. He was above that. But he put himself, it says, in the form of a servant. Do we have a servanthood mentality? There's one thing I've noticed. You remember the Christmas story? You know, you're going to shoot your eye out, kid. And where he said, the narrator, Ralphie, said, my mom never had a warm meal in 17 years. So she's constantly waiting on everybody, making sure everybody has their food. The husband has theirs. The kids have their food. And then after everybody else, she might sit down and eat. Maybe after everybody else's foods. After her food's cold, after they've already eaten. My wife's mother's like that. Rose, am I not right, Morgan? She will not. I don't know if she's ever eaten a warm meal in her life. Everybody has to have been fed and got second and thirds and fourths before she'll even think about sitting down to eat. And that's what a lot of just the unselfishness, constantly feeling like just that motherhood, servanthood mentality that you're constantly taking care of others and you're putting other people before yourself. We're to do that as Christians, Paul says. It should never be about me or about us. Okay? Good mothers are also apt to teach, patient, and meek. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Good mothers are apt to teach, they're patient, and they are meek. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 25. Paul's going to mention all this in these two verses as he ministers to Timothy. Now, remember he said that Jesus put himself in the form of a bondservant? And that's what he says here to Timothy. What's he say? The Lord's bondservant. So we should have, he tells us in Philippians, we should have the same mentality as Jesus and the mentality that Jesus had of servanthood for others, and that's what he says here. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, and that can be tough. Skillful in teaching, patient when wronged, and with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth. So we set the example as Christians. We never want it to come back as I did not ever come to the Lord, or I want no part of it because of the way David Sisk acts. I don't want to act like him. I don't want to be like him. I don't want that personality that he has. I don't want any of that. Okay? We should not run people off from Christ because we have the disposition of a rattlesnake. And moms have that. Okay? Moms, it says here, they're apt to teach, they're patient, they're meek. Okay? Moms are patient. Moms will stay with us when everybody else gives up. You know, it talked how Jesus didn't have anybody at the cross. The disciples had run off and left, but Mary was there. Mary was there watching her son die the worst possible death that he could possibly die. The mothers, good mothers will be there. And that's the way we should be as Christians. Meekness. I think about another country song, Merle Haggard's Mama's Tried. Mama Tried. A one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild. And so the wording there I thought was great because you think here's this kid going down the wrong path, this young man, and you think about when he says a family meek and mild, I think about my family that I grew up in. You may think about your family. A Christian family, what were they? Just meek and mild, good citizens, good people. And they were those kind of people that nobody could look at them and say, I don't want any of that. Okay? They lived the way the Lord wanted them to live. A mother also has affection. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8. A mother's affection. And you're going to see here, like a mother, Paul loved his children so much, he would give his own soul to them. He already said he poured out and emptied out everything he had for them. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Paul says, in the same way, we had a fond affection for you and we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become very dear to us. Paul had affection. Paul was not a hard-hearted soul who couldn't get close to the people and not love people. And we think about mothers, we think about love. Even in the animal world, Mothers will sacrifice their lives to protect their babies from a predator. My dad used to get moved. He was raised on a farm, and he used to get emotionally moved by that, talking about how certain animals, when a predator came, the mom would put, even like chickens, would put the babies under them, knowing that a fox or whatever was going to kill her, and just basically sacrifice her own self, but she would save those babies. And you see it all the time, even with wild animals. They will, if you want an animal, but even a dog or a cat or something like that, if you want to rub their fur the wrong way, try to get puppies from a mom or kittens from a cat. They'll fight you to the death. Wild animals, that even the wildest animals who have to kill and eat to live, they'll give up their own life for their babies. And my dad used to say that all the time. She'd say, dogs are loyal, and look how we treat each other. Dogs and cats and animals will take care of their kids, and then look how we act as humans. We need to take lessons from animals a lot of times. Okay? Paul was the same way. He was so good to this church here because of affection. And that's the same way mothers are. They love their kids. And they'll do anything for them. And most mothers I know would give their lives for their kids. Okay? Affection is also not flattery or false praise to spoil the children. Go back to verse 5 in that same chapter. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, as God is our witness. Okay? So no flattering speech, not trying to impress people, or with greed. Okay, so good moms do not flatter, give out false praise to spoil the children. Go to Ephesians 4. Instead, they'll speak the truth. And that's what you have to do as a parent. You have to be truthful. You have to be honest with the kids. That's the way they grow. If they don't get it from you, who are they going to get it from? Ephesians 4:15. And Paul talks about the truth, and he talks about how the truth helps you grow. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, that is Christ. As parents, as mothers, as you try to develop your child, you're going to tell them the truth. You don't need to do this. You need to do that, but you also, it's why. Now look at verses 17 through 21. So I say this in affirming the Lord, that you're no longer to walk just as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Remember, the Gentiles didn't know anything about God. They had no religious aspect about them. They were just whatever. They did whatever. Okay? Being darkened in their understanding, excluding from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness that's of their heart. So they had hard hearts and they were spiritually ignorant. And because of that, they became callous. Having become callous, have given themselves up into indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. So how, as what am I supposed to do then as a parent, as a mother, to keep my child in line from being that kind of person that has no conscience, that has nothing's wrong to them, and they're hard-hearted, and their mind's callous? How do we keep them from doing it? Verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And how did they learn, when these Gentile people, these people who had never had any form of structure, how did they come to have that? They were given the truth in the Word. Okay? The same way as parents. We tell our kids the truth. You're not to do this. And sometimes you have to enforce it a little bit. You know what I mean? So, you heard the truth. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, a parent will let you know. They should. They should, and they live that way. But you know right from wrong. I knew right from wrong from my mom and dad. If they had to beat it into me, if they had to tell me, whatever it was, I knew the difference. So did I do it? No. Not always. But I knew the difference of right and wrong. Why? The parents told me, they enforced it, and I knew what the Bible said. I knew what the Bible said about these things. Okay? Good mothers are always truthful with their children. I think I can speak for law school. We have law school teachers here. Retired, still teaching, active. But I think they'll all tell you this. And Judy, I'll know, because you'll shake your head if you agree with me. So I'm waiting on a head shake here. The hardest parent meetings are the parents who are totally disingenuous about their kids. They're not in reality at all about their kids. Those are the hardest parent meetings because you can't get anywhere. You have kids who never do anything wrong, who never take responsibility, who it's always somebody else's fault. And then when you talk to their parents, pretty quickly you figure out why the hell they got that way. Right? You understand that. You've seen them. So there's no honesty, there's no truth in that household. Okay? Our kids are to take responsibility. Our kids are to learn right from wrong. And the only way they do that is because they get truth from the parents. Okay? We need good mothers in today's age more than ever. And we also need the traits of good mothers in our Christian lives. Without the traits of good mothers, we lack persistent labor, we lack gentleness, and we lack true love. So what is the opposite of a mother's true love? And I'm coming to a close. The labor of love is replaced by comfortable service. Gentleness is replaced with pride. Honesty is replaced with manipulation. And humility is replaced with a hunger for power. Affection is replaced with flattery and hollow niceties. If you don't believe me, I'm going to let Isaiah tell you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. We see this in today's society. Nothing's changed. Just as the way it was thousands of years ago in Isaiah's time, it's that way now. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 30, verses 9 and 10. For this is a rebellious people. So look who he's addressing. They've rebelled from God. They've rebelled from the commandments. They've rebelled from the law. They knew to rebel, you've got to know and then turn away from it and decide you're going to go another way. Well, they weren't ignorant, they were rebellious. The false sons, and look what it says. Sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Who say to the seers, you must not see visions. And to the prophets, you must not prophesy the truth to us. Speak to us pleasant words. Sometimes as a parent, you've got to be the bad guy. And when they're rebellious, when they refuse to listen, when they say, no, just be nice to me. You have to say, no, here's the truth. That's what a good mother does. That's what Christians do in today's society. Here's the truth. The Lord is all, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The truth's not always pleasant. And good mothers are truthful and honest in raising their child and their children as they should go. So finally, turn to Philippians 3. We are instructed to follow the traits of godly mothers. And this is what I hope you get out of it. I am praising our good and godly mothers today. And I'm saying, Lord, please help me be more like you. Lord, please help me be like Patsy Pope. And I never thought those words would come out of my mouth. But I said, so Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul talks about the teachings of how Christians would act and how they should act, even in the worst of times, and it never fails. When you talk about the traits of a mother, to me, it's like this, hand in hand. It's interlocked with the traits of a Christian. Okay? Philippians 3, 10 and 11. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. I want to go one more time, the traits of the Christian and the mother. Teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, even under the hard times, the persecutions and sufferings. Did I give you the wrong? Oh, Lord. I'll get back to right. I had Philippians. I'm sorry. I'll get that to you. So, give me just a second and I'll do that. So, the conduct and the traits that we are to have as believers are the same ones that mothers have. So today, I can't thank mine. I can't go back and thank my mother. Okay? I can't, and a lot of us can't. But we're appreciative. If there's a chance that she's looking down at all, and I don't know that that happens in heaven, and the people say, well, they're looking down. I don't know that that's the case. I don't think they're concerned with what's going on in the world. But I hope they would know that she would know that I appreciate everything that she did. And I told her many times. But I hope she knew that. And as a kid, as you grow older, it'll hit you. I hope my mom knew how much I loved her and how much I appreciated her. So, if your mom's still here today, you need to let her know. Because you won't always have that opportunity. You need to let her know. Tell her today. There's no better time in the present. Let her know how much she means. And as Christians, take these traits of a good mother and ask yourself, are there places in my life I can apply? Am I as patient as I should be? Am I as humble as I should be? Am I strong in the word the way I should be? Do I do these things and take on these traits as a good mother? Do I have them in my Christian life? Because we can always grow. Lord knows I fall way short. Way short. So we've got plenty today as Martha Jo comes and plays. Just to ask yourself, Lord, help me. As a Christian, as a mother, that I would be that individual that the Lord would want me to be, because the Bible clearly lays guidelines how we should act, how we should go about it. Lord, help me where if I lose my temper, if I'm short with people, if I don't have the disposition, if I don't have the compassion, if I don't have the meat, if I don't have that. Because it's hard. It's not easy, especially when times are tough. Christianity is not, it's what Jesus said, it's not an easy thing. He said it's a narrow road. It's not easy. When times are tough, and you have to act like this, and you have to love when you're not loved, and when people say bad things about you, when you know that there's hostilities about you, but you've got to smile and go on, and you've got to love them back, and you've got to turn the other cheek, and you've got to love those that don't love you, that's not easy. But that's what a mother does. A mother doesn't stop being a mother during a hard time. She continues to be a mother. Martha Jo.